to all of you in the Pontrain language. Rebecca and I are delighted to be here with you tonight. We've had a busy, busy time. We've been in the States for about a week. It takes 2 days to get here. And since we've been here, we've pretty much traveled nonstop. But we are very glad to be here with you. We're very glad that Rebecca can be here with me tonight. Rebecca and I try to do everything we can together, and so far God has blessed us to be able to travel together on this trip. We ask that you'll keep her in your prayers, keep our child in your prayers, as we continue to travel, that everyone will be strong and healthy. I've got a lot to talk about, and so far, every time I've made this presentation, I've gone over the time allotted to me. I've just gone with Pohnpei time, which is whatever you want it to be. So hopefully I won't do that tonight. I'll try to go quickly tonight. Here to talk to you tonight about the work that you are doing in Micronesia. We may need to dim these lights, or at least cut this one off if we can. Micronesia is the area of the world north of the equator and west of the international date line. Rebecca and I work on the island of Pohnpei and the island of Koh Sri, which is over here. You all support Joey Treat and know him quite well. He lives in Palau, but he does a lot of work right here in Chuuk. But Rebecca and I are in Pohnpei and Koh Sri. Pohnpei is about halfway between Honolulu, Hawaii, and Manila, Philippines. It's about 500 miles north of the equator. So as you can imagine, it is very, very hot. We arrived in Knoxville, Tennessee last Saturday, expecting it to be warm. It was May, and it was cold, and we did not have winter clothes. So we basically froze for about half a week, and then it warmed up enough to where we were comfortable. And we're very comfortable here, especially on a day like today where it's so rainy. That really reminds us of home, except we don't drive on the interstate when it's raining because we don't have one. That was a little scary, but other than that, it's been okay. The last 2 years since we've been here last have been a time of first, not only personally, but in the work. We'll start with personally. There's our daughter at 6 weeks old. There she is, just a little bitty thing. We called her Bean at that time because we didn't know what she was, boy or girl. Brethren, I'm not here to preach on the sin of abortion, but I am going to say something about it. This was taken, the picture was made at 6 weeks. On the island of Guam, we don't have this technology in Pohnpei. We heard the heartbeat. There are people in this country, people in this world that say it's okay to stop that heart. I cannot imagine that. You're declared dead when your heart stops beating. Why aren't you declared alive when your heart starts beating? And my daughter, that's not a scab. That's not just a clump of cells. That's my daughter right there. We have a little bit of an updated picture. Wow. You know there are people that say you could end this life too. People have been saying that, brethren. How could you say that that's anything other than a child? And she's got my nose. Isn't that impossible? You can see that. That's my nose right there. My nose is the only cute thing about my face. Hopefully she gets everything else from her mom. But her mom's got a cute nose, too. You can look at it later, okay? But we're just so excited about this, and please keep her in your prayers. But it's been a time of first in the work as well. Even though it has been a time of first, there are some things that never change. The three E's of missions do not change. Why are we there? To evangelize, to edify, and to equip. And that's what you've been doing in Micronesia. Well, let's talk about that and how you've been doing it. Well, first of all, let's talk about evangelism and equipping. With the World Bible Institute, Pohnpei and Koh Sri Campus. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul tells Timothy, the things that you have heard from me, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I skipped that. The things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That is the purpose of the World Bible Institute. It is to train men and women how to teach others. We also have Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Paul told Titus, for this reason, I left you in Crete. So you could see the sights, so you could vacation and take a little time off. No, that's not what he said. So that you could set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. We do not have elders in Micronesia at this time. In fact, as far as I know, from Guam all the way over to Kiribati, there are many churches, but not one of them has elders yet. We are not close to that time yet. We are working on it. And the WDI is helping us to get there. But it's also helping us to evangelize. We opened the classes to all who wanted to take them, whether they are members of the Lord's church or not. Here is the southern campus on Pohnpei of the World Bible Institute. There are a few members of the church here, but most of these are not members of the church. They're members of a denominational group called the Protestant Church. Here we are on the north side of the island. Most of these are members of the Lord's church. We're teaching them how to teach others. We have to kind of mix it up a little bit. Now we actually have them all together meeting in one campus on the south side of the island. But we do have a lot of people who are not members of the church. People like John Ringland. This is John Ringland right here. He is a very educated man. By my Indonesian standards, he has a master's degree in education. He is a school teacher. A very good student of God's Word. We just recently finished a class on Romans and Galatians. And our students had to write a paper on, from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, the purpose and form of baptism. You see, John goes to what they call the Protestant church. In the Protestant church, they sprinkle for baptism, and they really don't have a reason to do it other than they just do that, okay? So he had to write a paper, as well as the other students, on the how and why of baptism. Well, Romans chapter 6 makes it abundantly clear how and why we must be baptized. For if many of you have been baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him in baptism. That Jesus Christ was raised by the glory of the Father. Even so, you have been raised to walk in newness of life. Well, how to be baptized? Be buried. Why to be baptized? To enter Christ. Well, John wrote that in his paper. And he wrote, I'm a member of the Protestant church. We do not baptize by immersion. We sprinkle. He said, I'm not sure why we do that. He said, I keep asking people, why do we do that? And they will not answer me. He said, I want to know the truth about this. He's getting closer. He's not there yet. Okay, he's not there yet. He's not been baptized in Christ. But getting closer and closer. So please keep him in your prayers. This is Patrick Ringland, is his name. His title is Menikader Lapalap. That means the high messenger. On the south side of the island, we have five municipalities in the island. His is the southernmost municipality, and he is the highest elected official in that municipality. He also has a very high traditional title. We have elected officials and traditional leaders, and he is one of each, okay? He's one man, does both jobs. He's the reason we started the campus on the south side of the island, although he's not a member of the Lord's church. He said, we need Bible teaching. We don't have it. I said, I know you don't have it. If you had it, you would not be a member of that denominational group. You would not be sprinkling for baptism. You'd be taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. So yes, you do need these classes, and we will teach them. And he is one. He hasn't been to our classes lately because of all of his responsibilities. But when he's there, he just stays on the edge of his seat. He writes basically everything down that I say. I don't talk quite this fast when I'm teaching him, okay? When I'm teaching them. But I'm not pushed for time with them like I am here. But he is an excellent, excellent student. This is Denson David. Can't you just tell by looking at that face that he's just a nice guy? And he is. He's just a great guy. Really a good friend of ours, becoming a good friend. Loves us. Especially seems to love Rebecca, which everybody does. But one thing that happens, for some of you folks that are married but you have not had a child yet, as soon as your wife gets pregnant, nobody will ever ask you how you're doing again. It just doesn't happen. They say, well, how's Rebecca? And that's all. I say, well, what about me? Okay, I need friends too, okay? But Kenton always asks about Rebecca, always prays for us, and just is very respectful. Not a member of the Lord's church, but again, getting closer. Getting closer. This is John Rensselaer, probably my favorite student. I love teaching this man because he loves to learn, and he just asks questions, and good questions. This guy wants to know the truth. Again, none of these are members of the church, but they're all in those classes, hearing basically in every class that they're in the wrong place, and they need to get in the right place, and they'll keep coming, and Lord willing, eventually some of these men will become Christians, and when they do, well, that's going to mean a lot for the Lord's church, because every one of these men are high-ranking in Pohnpei. Not only do we have the Pohnpei campus, we've also started in Coast Drive. I told you about Coast Drive before. It is a tough nut to crack. There's basically one denominational group that is in control of the island. They are basically like a cult. They're called the Congregationalist Church, but they have a very, very tight grip on the island. You remember in John chapter 9 when Jesus healed a man who had been born blind? And then when the man, when his parents came along, and the Pharisees said, is this your son who you said was born blind? They said, well, that is our son. We know he was born blind. We don't know how it is that he can see now. They said this because they were afraid to confess that Jesus is Lord. Because if they did, they'd be put out of the synagogue. Well, that's basically what you have in Coast Drive. So we've had a hard time getting studies with people. So we started the World Bible Institute. We built this building. I'm just kidding. We didn't build that building. The Chinese government built this building. It's the Coast Drive High School. And we meet in this room right here. We've had about 15 students in Coast Drive, which is good. That's 15 people we were not able to study with before. And they really do love the classes. Here we are studying in the book of hermeneutics, how to interpret prophecy. You might be able to guess what, well, actually, you can just see it right there, I guess. But we're looking at Daniel chapter 2. Do you ever have doubts about God? Do you ever have doubts about the Bible? Maybe you don't, but most people do. If you do, and if you wonder, was this book really given to us by God? I want to encourage you to study the book of Daniel. Because the book of Daniel is world history in advance. And you can just see it. There's no way Daniel could have known the things that he knew. He wrote about them 400 years before they happened. And I'm teaching this to their Coast Drive. And they're just on the edge of their seats. Because they believe in God, but they don't know why. They've only believed in God because that's what their parents told them to do. And they're learning, brethren. And they're getting closer. And they want to become members of the church. Especially this couple right here. This is George and his wife, Lucina. They have been very faithful in attending our classes. And they understand that the Congregationalist Church is not the Lord's church. Okay? They understand that. But they're afraid to leave it, as all of these folks are. So please keep them in your prayers. Okay? It's very, very difficult for them. But they need to leave it. They need to just trust God that everything will be okay. In the World Bible Institute, we have teachers come over for 2 weeks at a time. We would love to have some of you come over and teach some of these classes. We have a fellow, I'll show you him in just a minute, named David Hammer. He came over and taught classes. And our school building was locked. We couldn't get into it. So we just met in this little bitty office. We had about 25 folks. There were several of them outside, several of them inside, in this little bitty room with no air conditioning. Now, I mentioned we live 500 miles north of the equator, right? So you can imagine it was pretty hot in there. It didn't smell very good by the end of the night. But guess what? They weren't ready to leave when class was over. They had questions. Brethren, these people are hungry for the Bible. This, by the way, is the municipal office. Municipal means government. I want you to try to have a Bible study in a government office in the United States of America, okay? You just try it, see how far you get. In Pompeii, you don't have those restrictions. They love the Bible, and you can teach it anywhere you want. Here's David Hammer with one of my favorite students, Dula the dog. He sat right there all night, and he would not get out of the way. I guess he was the assistant teacher, I don't know. But David is the president of the World Bible Institute. I did not know him before he came to Pompeii. We had emailed a few times. And brethren, I want you to understand something. I don't want to work with people who are not sound in the faith, okay? So I started asking David some questions. And he came over, he answered the questions, he answered every question right, but some people just know the answers, okay? And they know what you're getting after. This man is sound in the faith. He teaches the truth, okay? And I am so excited to be working with World Bible Institute. If you want to further your Bible education, they've got a program online that they're in the process of putting out. But look it up. World Bible Institute, McDonough, Georgia, okay? I trust this man. He's preaching truth, and you will get a good education from that, from this school if you can do it. I don't have a lot of time, but we started this year, our year of first, 2 years of first since we've been here. We also had our first intern. Remember in Acts chapter 16 and verses 1 through 3, Paul went into Derbe and Lystra, and there he met a young disciple named Timothy, who was the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren in Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted him to come with him. Verse 3. Why? Because he was the first intern in the church of Christ, was Timothy. Well, we had our first intern in Pompeii. member of the church in Fayetteville, Georgia, well spoken of by the brethren there. Last time we were here, we said we wanted interns to come over and work with us. Luke volunteered, and he came. Just came, got on the plane all by himself, 17 years old, just graduated from the Quinn Institute. That's the home school that he went to. A very, very good young man. He's now at the Memphis School of Preaching. But he came over and worked with us and went on Bible studies. Now, you see, he's on a Bible study. Well, where in the world is his Bible? Well, she didn't have one, so she had to borrow his. Okay? But he went on those Bible studies. Came with us. Young folks, older folks, whoever wants to come. Come over. You will get Bible studies. And it's just such a beautiful place. Just sit out there on the road having a Bible study. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. Study at night by lantern light with a family that wants to hear the Word. It's not like in the United States. We want to hear over there. Younger people come. We've got a lot of teenagers, and they're hungry for the Word. They don't care about Xbox and movies and sitting around watching TV. They don't have it most of the time. They want to hear God's Word. Luke came over and did a great job. He learned to husk a coconut. The easiest way to husk a coconut is to wet it first. I didn't wet that one. It took him a while to get it open, but that's okay. We had fun with him. Come over, remember the three E's, right? Evangelism, equipping, edification. How do you edify people? Well, you spend time with them and eat their food. And if you're Luke, you say, is it okay to eat this food? And if you're Scott, you say, it's fine. And then afterwards, you say, hey, did you eat the chicken? And he says, oh, yeah. Oh, you shouldn't have eaten that. It's worried, okay? But I was just playing with them. It's okay to eat the chicken. We also had this year our first Christian camp. You might know in Titus chapter 2, Paul tells Titus to teach different people different things. He tells him what to teach the older men, what to teach the older women, what to teach the younger women. And he tells Titus and the young men, teach them to be sober-minded. We have a lack of sober-mindedness in the islands. A lack of self-control. A lot of drinking. A lot of theft. Pohnpeian youth have decided that they like laptop computers, but they don't like paying for them, so if they see one, they just take it. Okay? Now, as long as your house is locked or your car is locked, it won't be stolen. But if it's out in the open, they're going to take it. They like to get drunk, and they like to fight. And we have a big problem with sexual assault in the islands. So we need to do something about this. So we had our first ever Christian camp. It was just for young men, because we didn't have anybody over that could come over and teach the young women. But we did have Rick Slagle. He's a member of the church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Works with camps. Loves to work with children. So he was coming over to Pohnpei and said, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to have a camp. It's going to be out at the Nala Island Resort. And boy, what a resort. 5-star. They even include toilet paper in the outhouse. I mean, it's good, okay? It's really nice. Okay? It actually is a beautiful little island, but it is not a resort. Not at all. Not even close. You have to take a little boat to get out there. We had it just filled with these young men. Now, these are young women that were not part of our group, but they went out. We had over 20 to come, and they had a great time. Pohnpeians love to play volleyball, so we played volleyball over the weekend. Had volleyball tournaments. They love, this is where they stayed, just an old, empty, big open room there, no air conditioning. We've got these fans that don't work, so what's the point of them? I don't know, they're decoration. So it gets hot in there, but Rick didn't mind. This is Ryan. He's just 8 years old, wasn't really supposed to be part of the camp, but came with his dad, because nobody could look after him, and he just made himself at home. Just went to sleep on the table. Pohnpeians can sleep anywhere. See, we're spoiled. We have beds. They don't. So they can sleep anywhere. But he had devotionals with them. Spent a lot of time with them. They love Rick. And they want him to come back. Now, he's not in the best of health. And has some other things going on right now. So he hasn't been able to come back. But these young men, they just ate this up. They had a great time. We want to do it again. But we need help to do it. We need people to come. We have a new building in mind, our 2 years of first, right? In Philemon chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul, he greets Philemon in verse 1. In verse 2, he greets Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and Philemon, the church that meets in your house. Well, in the village of Mon, we were meeting in a home. Here's Mon down here. Rebecca and I live up here. There's a congregation here in Colonia. There's another one here in Kitchee, right about there. But we had a congregation in mind, just meeting in someone's home. Well, Philemon tells us that's okay to do, right? Well, the villagers here in mind, they kind of didn't like it. They thought it was a little weird to meet in somebody's house. So, the members of the church said, if we want to have visitors, we're going to have a building. They had about $1,000 in their savings that they saved up for about 3 or 4 years. That paid for maybe half of the concrete floor, maybe a quarter of the concrete floor. The stuff over there is expensive. So we had to raise some funds. While we're raising funds, some very, very good-hearted brethren said, hey, you're building a building. We'll come over and build it for you. And we said, no, thank you. No, thank you. Why? Why would we say that? Because, see, these are the members of the church there in Pohnpei. If we pay for their building, build it for them, maintain it for them, guess what? It's our building. We don't want that. We want it to be their building. So we said, okay, we'll raise the funds, you build it. And they did. And they worked so hard. Here's Charlie. No power tools, just hand tools. And they built and they worked. And it took a long time. Poured this concrete floor ourselves. Here's Johnson fixing some of the trusses for the roof. We were right there on the edge of the road. It looks like we're in the jungle, but we're only about 10 yards off the road. Here is the finished product. Not quite finished yet. We're saving up some money to build cement board to put right here along this wall, and then it'll be finished, but we're already worshiping it. I'll show you a picture later. We cut all of this back so you can see it real good from the road. Right near the road. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's awesome because people walk down this road. They don't drive hardly. So they just walk down the road while we're worshiping. And I'll preach most of the time. I don't preach all the time. I preach most of the time. And while they're walking down the road, believe it or not, you're not going to believe this. They can hear me from outside of the building. I know you can't believe that, okay? But they can. And what they do is they stop and they listen. And I had a big group of them out there one time listening from the road. And I was halfway through a sermon. And I said, I got to change this sermon. They need to hear the gospel. So I changed it midstream and preached a sermon on obeying the gospel. And they heard it. Brethren, they're hearing it. And they'll stop and listen. Some of them, you see the same ones stopping all the time. Hopefully they'll come inside one day. But this is what you've been doing the last 2 years. Also this year, we had our first visit from family with our Pohnpei mini campaign. We planned a big campaign. We invited hundreds of people to come over, and about 15 to 20 said that they would come, and 3 came, because it's expensive and it's hard. It's hard to get time off, hard to raise funds to do it. But two out of three were our family. Really, 3 out of 3 were our family, but only 2 share our family, but one of them is like family to me. One of them is Rebecca's sister-in-law right there. Her name is Miracle. She looks like she's nice and quiet and doesn't make a lot of commotion, right? No, not at all. But she just fit right in Pohnpei, and boy, did they love her. That's Rebecca's sister-in-law, Miracle. Rebecca's brother came. His name is Peter. Ugly as homemade sin. No, I'm just kidding. He's just a great guy. See, this is Ladisair. She's very nearly blind. That's why she wears those very dark glasses. She's about 4 feet tall. Peter is around 6'1 or 6'2. And she had to get this on his head. It was very difficult, okay? Very, very difficult. But they came over to work with us, the two of them, and my very good friend, best friend outside of Rebecca, Leonard Lay. He was the best man at my wedding, one of the people that helped bring me to Christ. He's there preaching in Pohnpei. And brethren, it was just the 3 of us, but boy, did we work. There's Peter preaching at one of the congregations. They worked harder than any group I've ever seen and got more done. One night, we all met and had dinner together and had singing, and Charlie thought we needed more time to fellowship with one another. Charlie's a member of the church there, so he locked the keys in the car. I called AAA. They said they'd be there in a couple of weeks. They just had to get on a boat and figure out a way to get the tow truck over there. So we said, never mind, we'll figure it out on our own. And we fellowshipped, and we had a great time trying to get the truck unlocked. And while we were doing that, Miracle worked with some of the kids. Just had a good time. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing here. Rebecca, I say that every time I do this presentation. Now, you have to tell me later what they're doing so I can just tell people what they're doing, okay? This is McCoy. Just the cutest little kid you ever did see. He's just a little man. We just love him to death. This is Jay Shandy. Ladies, men too, come on over and meet some of these kids. Oh boy, they'll just melt your heart. They're so good. They really are. Now, the little mini kids are horrible. They're just awful. They will not be still. But as they get older, they do pretty well. And they love coming and singing the songs and having VBS. So we have that fellowship together. What do we do? Now, I'm going to tell you about this mini campaign because it's also basically what Rebecca and I do all the time. We go door knocking and have personal Bible studies. Going door to door, preaching the gospel. And when we go, we get studies set up. There's Leonard and Jim, one of the members of the church. Well, why is Jim with Leonard? So he can translate for him? No, not so he can translate for him, although he did have to sometimes. Listen, this is their work. You come over, you're there to help them, okay, and show them how to do it, not do it for them. But go on personal Bible study. If we go door knocking around here on Lake Howell Road and Howell Boulevard, I think it was, that we were over there, what do you think? What percentage-wise are we going to get? People say, yeah, I'll have a Bible study. 10% if we're lucky? Maybe not. Maybe 5%? Maybe 1%? Pohnpei? If you knock on 10 doors in Pohnpei, I will personally guarantee you that 7 of those 10 will say, yes, come in, have a Bible study. This is Peter, Rebecca's brother. First door he knocked on. Come on in, let's have a study. We couldn't find him. Where was he? He was on a study. They love to study. Rebecca and I go door knocking all the time. We love it. We get personal Bible studies set up. This is a group of young girls that we had a study with. This is Bilar and her granddaughter, Afin. Miracle wanted to lead the study, so she led it. Rebecca translated it into Pohnpei. Afin translated it from Pohnpei to Chukchi so that Bilar could understand it. Boy, you talk about a circle there. But it worked. And I'll show you later how we know it worked, okay? But going on door knocking, having personal Bible studies, having a leadership workshop. Here Leonard is doing a lesson on worship. After his lesson, I did a lesson too, and then Peter did a song leading workshop. You can't really see his face there. I told you he's ugly, so we won't know. I'm just kidding. But this guy here, see, I taught the brethren how to lead singing, okay? Now, I don't do most of the song leading, but I do some of it. Well, Peter came out, and they said, you're fired. This guy, he can lead singing, okay? He's just a great song leader, great preacher too. And he's my brother-in-law, so you know I'm not just saying that, okay? I mean, you can't compliment your brother-in-law unless you really, really mean it, okay? But he came out and he taught them how to lead singing. Well, there's Jim leading singing, taking some of the things that Peter taught and putting it into practice. While the men were doing this, the ladies just got together and they had Bible studies on the side of this hill right there, right out in the open. Nobody's embarrassed. Nobody has a hard time with it. Everybody loves it. We had a youth devotional. Rebecca and I have these. Not quite quarterly, but as often as we can. And how do you transport people in Micronesia? Well, just in the back of a pickup truck. We've had 28 in ours. A 5-passenger car in Micronesia? No, no, no. That's at least a 12-passenger car, okay? You just cram as many people in as you can. We got together, had our youth devotional. There's Peter leading singing. Boy, do they love those songs that we typically think of as youth devotional songs. Leonard taught the young men. Miracle taught the young women. And they just come and they listen. And they'll come by the truckload, brethren. They will just come and listen. Not like here. They don't have the distractions we have here. So they come and they have a good time. We also had a ladies' day. Rebecca, why aren't Rebecca and I in these pictures? I guess because we're always on the other side of the camera. But Rebecca taught a lesson. Miracle taught a lesson. And then we had one of the local ladies, Osco. She taught a lesson as well. And all three did a great job. And the ladies were so encouraged by that. We also had a gospel meeting while they were there. Had about 50 to 60 each night. There's a Jim leading singing. He's learning how to lead singing. So, Jim, get in there and lead singing. Peter preached the meeting for us. And after that, Leonard answered questions. Micronesians have good questions. And they asked him. One of the young ladies we were studying with had been sprinkled as a child. Okay? And she asked a question. We've been studying with her for years. She said, where in the Bible does it say that I need to be baptized twice? Well, it actually doesn't say that you need to be baptized twice, but you know what? In Acts chapter 10, it says you can be baptized twice, because Paul met some folks from Ephesus. They had been baptized with John. That was not the right baptism. So he baptized them again. Well, Leonard answered that question. We'll show you what happened after a little while. Brethren, we do all these things. Evangelism, edifying, equipping. Why? So the locals will take the lead. This is their work, and they need to do it. So they had a gospel meeting just recently. J.R., one of the local young men, no Americans were here except Rebecca and I, and we don't count as Americans anymore. But we had a gospel meeting. J.R. leading singing. The first night of the meeting, there's Jim again. Great gospel preacher, brethren. Here he was preaching on laziness. That's what that says right there. You can't read it. Poinkake means laziness. Preaching on the challenges to Christianity. And laziness is a big one for the Micronesians. So he taught, and he said, God gave Adam the breath of life. And he said, not to just sit around doing nothing, but to work. He said, we need to work. We are God's people. We need to do work. Came up with that all on his own. Here's one of his children, BJ. Jim has 9 kids. 7 of them are Christians. 2 of them are too young. But BJ leading singing. This is Charlie, my very, very close friend. Your good brother and hard, hard worker. Rebecca and I, for years in Pohnpei, we would have to go and pick everybody up and drop everybody off before and after worship and Bible class. It took us so long. We said, brethren, we need help. We need someone to drive. Charlie said, I'll do it, because he says, I'll do anything. Charlie, do you know how to drive? No, I've never even ridden a bicycle. Okay, so we're going to teach you to drive. We taught him to drive. He's now our driver and one of our good preachers. He would be an elder in the church if we had somebody else qualified. He's just that good, that sharp, okay? But we don't have anybody else qualified. Just does anything he asks him and does it well. There's only one thing he cannot do. He cannot read a gas gauge. If you say, Charlie, how much gas is left in the truck? Every time, he says, a half quart. Do you know how much gas is in a half quart?
No.
Neither do I. Because every time he says it, I go and look at the gas gauge, and sometimes it's at 3/4, sometimes it's at 1/4, sometimes it's someplace in between. And I say, Charlie, okay, this line is full, this is 3/4, this is half quarter, out of half tank, this is 1/4, and this is empty. Okay? There's no half quart. The other day, about a week and a half ago, before we left, I said, Charlie, how much gas is in the truck? Half quart, Scott. I said, okay, that's it. You're going to be fine. You've got plenty of gas. But a good preacher, just a great preacher, here he is using the whiteboard, preaching this gospel meeting because we want them doing the work. We had a very good attendance. Here we are at the building in Colonia. Not only that, the ladies get to work too. They fix lunch. And they could. They just do a good job. Getting involved in evangelism, going door knocking. Now, it doesn't look like there'd be many houses on this road, but there are. They're just back in there behind in the jungle. Houses like this one, where Achilles and his wife Mindy live. And we had Bible studies with them. Bible studies that the brethren set up, because they're the ones that went door knocking. Bible studies with Fatley. Ladies, how'd you like to be named Fatley? I mean, what a horrible name. But that's okay. It doesn't bother them. They like being fat. In fact, they'll tell Rebecca something. Oh, you look so fat. And it's a compliment to them, not to Rebecca, though. Okay? But she never does look fat, by the way. She doesn't even look fat now. And this is Andreas, and she's 8 months pregnant, okay? This is Andreas and his small family. You can see his little bitty family there. Just a few of them. We love this family. We've been studying with them for several months now. They're part of that denominational group. They want to leave, but they just can't. This is their son, Landon. Andreas' grandson, Landon. He has muscular dystrophy. Okay? That's a tough disease when you've got good medical care and they don't have good medical care. So keep Landon in your prayers, please. This is one of the sweetest kids you'd ever want to meet. But getting involved in evangelism, going on personal Bible study. Sorry that picture is so dark, but you'll see these folks again. That's Redson and his wife, Marietta. Evangelism, not only that, but serving others. This is one of the roads, and we've got a lot of jungle in Pohnpei, okay? Look at this. This road got down to about 3/4 of a lane. Very dangerous. Well, brethren, talking to the men there, what can we do to help out here in Pohnpei? Get some attention for the church, good attention. Well, let's go clean that road. So we did. And they got their machetes, and they got out there, and they cleaned that road. And it got people's attention. They saw us and they said, hey, where are y'all from? We're from the Church of Christ. And we're cleaning this road. It's too dangerous. We want to make it safe. We also did another thing to get some attention, pass out some tracts. We had a free car wash. Now, we don't have car washes to raise funds in the Lord's church. We do that on the first day of the week. So we had a free one. And brethren, they came. They wanted their cars washed. Usually it costs $1 to get your car washed appointment. Well, we did it for free. The brethren got out there and they worked. And they passed out tracts. They had a good time. And we had that parking lot full and people driving back and forth waiting for an empty spot. So they could come and get their car washed and get a tract. And everybody that got their car washed said, "This is amazing. We've never seen a church do this before." And they got those tracts, and some of them came to our Friends Day that we had. Serving others, cleaning up the building there in Mons. Remember all that jungle? Well, there's Valerio cutting some of it back. This is Rakina. Anytime we do one of these projects, service projects, she fixes lunch. And see how her eyes are basically closed right there? It's not because of this smoke. Rakina, her and Ladisa, the lady with the dark sunglasses from before, they're from a tiny island called Pinalap, and the folks on Pinalap, about 30% of them, have a congenitive eye disease that makes it where they're completely colorblind, and in the bright light, they can't hardly see. They have to go like this, because the sun just hurts their eyes so much. She doesn't let it slow her down from serving the Lord. We need something done, she does it. She cooks over an open fire and cooks just meals that are just so tasty, so good. Well, what has been added to your account lately? Because the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, when you support missionaries, you're doing the work, and fruit is added to your account. Remember Jim? He's got 9 kids. He raises them by himself. His wife left him after the 9th one was born. This is Dawn and Venetia. Venetia's 13, Dawn's 14. They've been baptized into Christ because of the work that you're doing, as well as Jim's 5 oldest children. So now his 7 oldest children have been baptized into Christ because of the work that you're doing. This is Berman, 17 years old. His mom's a member of the church. We started studying with him. He was baptized into Christ because of the work that you're doing. There's Suana, 14 years old. Mom and dad, her mom is Ladisa. Her dad is Valerio, baptized into Christ. Remember Valar? We did that, all that translating. Well, it got through, brethren. 80 years old. Do you know how old 80 is in Micronesia? It's old, okay? She said, "I'm not ready to go to heaven, and I need to get ready." So she was baptized into Christ. Remember Redson and his wife, Marietta? Baptized into Christ because of the work that you're doing. This is Darling. You can't see her, though. It's very dark. It was very late at night, about 10 o'clock at night. She said, "I want to be baptized." We had to walk down a hill through dense jungle to get to this river to baptize her. All the Americans were slipping and falling. The Micronesians never fall down, though. But she was baptized into Christ. Here's a little bit better picture of her with her daughter, Fancy. That's her daughter's name. That's a lot better than Fatley. And there's Darla Faye. And there's Dorothy. We call her Darling, but her name's Dorothy. Baptized into Christ. Very faithful to the Lord because of the work that you're doing. That's Quinson. During our camp, Quinson said, "I need to be baptized." He was baptized. Archer, we don't have a picture of him being baptized, but that's Charlie's son, youngest son, baptized into Christ because of the work that you're doing. That's Justice. Justice is John Ringling's son. You know who John Ringling is? That school teacher from way back when who doesn't understand why his church doesn't baptize correctly. His son says, "I don't care. I was not baptized correctly, and I want to be." And he was baptized into Christ because of the work that you are doing. This is Jones. His name is Jones Raymond. You know, I'm not saying that name backwards. That's his name, Jones Raymond. Now, he's not been baptized into Christ. But why on earth am I showing him this picture? Well, we were studying with him and studying with him and studying with him. And finally, one day while we're studying, Edgar came in. Edgar Tom. And Edgar said, "Hey, you're over here studying with him. Why don't you come to my house and study with me?" We said, "Okay, Edgar, we'll do that." Edgar had had a stroke, not in good health at all. His wife had left him for another man. He's got 3 sons who are very strong and could work and could help him out, and not one of them does. Basically, has to beg for food. But he wanted the gospel. And he got it. And we taught it to him, and he was baptized into Christ. And guess what? Right now, he's waiting for you in paradise. Because about 3 or 4 months after he was baptized into Christ, he passed away from this life. Been out of Christ his whole life, and got in right through the wire. And God, be thanked that it's never too late as long as you're alive. And he's waiting for you in paradise. Brethren, we have some needs. Okay? There's fruit that found in your account, but there's some things we need. Number one, we need your prayers. We've got a big problem in Quantum Bay, in Micronesia in general. Family pressures. This is Baylina, a member of the church. She was very faithful for years. Her husband lived in Guam. And she was very faithful to the Lord's church. Her husband was not faithful to her in Guam. Got drunk all the time, cheated on her, didn't send her money, which is why he went to Guam. But he had a stroke. He came back and started letting him move back in with her, and she forgave him and let him come back in. And now he forbids her to come to church. Her and her three daughters, who are all members of the church, and they're all scared stiff of him and won't come to church anymore. They need your prayers, and so do we, so that we can figure out a way to get around that. We study with them all the time, brethren, but they won't come back. This is Sanisir. There's Ladisir again, her sister Sanisir. She heard the truth, and she said, I'm in the wrong church, the Protestant church. I want to become a member of the Church of Christ. She was baptized in Christ, very faithful for about a year. Then her oldest daughter, who is married to the top guy in the Protestant church's son, went to her house and said, Mom, I'm married to this guy's son, and now you're in another church. How does that make me look? You need to come back. And if you don't, well, I'm just never going to talk to you again. I'm never going to help you with anything again. She went back to that denominational church. Please, brethren, pray. That's Redson again. Baptized into Christ. Was so excited. Brethren, during our studies with them, we studied about repentance. I've gone a little bit late. Sorry about that, but I do need to tell you about this. We're studying about repentance. He's an alcoholic. And he got drunk just about all the time. We studied about repentance one day, what it means. He did something I've never seen a Micronesian man do during this study. He started crying. Never seen a Micronesian man do that. They do not show emotion in Micronesia. Started crying, reached in his pocket, and pulled out a bottle. I think it was rum or maybe whiskey. And smashed it on the ground. He said, I'll never do it again. I need to become a Christian. About a week later, he was baptized in Christ. Can you see that smile on his face, brethren? I mean, he was just so happy. And he said, Scott, I've got to share this with other people. And I said, yes, you do. He said, I'm going to start with my mother. So he went to his mother's house and said, I've been baptized into Christ. And I want you to come and study with Scott. His mother said, how dare you? How dare you do that? Your father was a member of the Protestant church. He was a preacher in the Protestant church. And you turned your back on him. And now you're going to be cursed. Don't you dare go back to that church. He's a grown man living on his own with his own family. And he said, yes, Mom. And he's not coming back. We've studied with him. He who loves mother or father more than me is not worthy of me. Gregson, you know the truth. And you know that that church is not the truth. He said, I know. But my mother told me not to go back. It's so difficult, brethren, and we need your prayers. We need co-workers, brethren. We need you to come. There's too much work for Rebecca and I. People always ask us, are you on a team? Are you on a mission team? The Baptists over there, I think they have 5 missionaries that live on that little island. The Mormons have about 12. The Assembly of God, they've got 2 missionary families there. And all that's all just on one thing. In all of Micronesia, from Palau to Kiribati, there are 2 missionary families. The Shanahans and the Trees. That's it. There are more Baptist missionaries on Pohnpei than there are Church of Christ missionaries in all of Micronesia. So we need co-workers. We need people to come over and help us from time to time. It's encouraging to us. It's encouraging to the brethren. Please come. And I don't care who you are. You can be effective over there. We also need investors. We need monthly investors and we need one-time investors. Because we've got too many members of the church in Pohnpei. We can't pick them all up. So we want to get a bus, a mini bus, not like a school bus or something like that, okay? Charlie can just barely drive the truck. He doesn't need to be driving a school bus. But we need a bus. It's going to cost us about $8,000. So far, we have 0, okay? We need your help. If you've got $5 you can give for that, please give. We need more monthly supporters because in Colonia, we're about to lose our lease on the building. And when the lease was signed 25 years ago by somebody else, long before we got involved in the work, the church was planted, the church died, and we got back in the building when we went there, okay? The church is alive again. But the lease is about to expire. And they've gone from 5 family members to 25 family members, all of whom want a piece of that pie. And we cannot afford what they want for that building. So we need a new one. Well, we found one for $400 a month. And so far, we have zero of that. So we need monthly supporters. Can you give $5 a month? $10 a month? If you can, please consider doing that. We haven't been to Coast Rye in almost a year because we just don't have the funds. It's tough. We've lost support, and things have gotten so expensive over there. We haven't lost support because we're doing a bad job or because we're teaching error. We've lost support because of the economy. And I know you probably have here, too, and you've probably lost money. But Brandon, we need help, okay? We're making sacrifices. Not saying that to Brad. We're doing without things. The churches are doing without things. And we're not making trips to Coast Rock where they're telling us, Scott, we need this teaching. Please come. But we can't because we don't have the funds. If you can become an investor in the work, here's the address. $5, brethren, a month. Hey, that'll go a long way if we can get a bunch of people to do it, okay? $10. If you can do one time or monthly, we need the help. I'm going to say, Palani Kukurumwai. That means thank you in a very respectful way. That's what you say to the king for listening tonight. I'm sorry I have taken a little bit extra of your time, okay? But we'll blame that on the long prayers and the slow singing. No, the singing. You're not going to go for that because the singing's been too good. It's been great. But we're about to wrap up here. Remember, you know, Edgar was a poor man. We read in the Bible of a poor man. We read about a lot of poor men in the Bible. But one in particular is named Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. And there was a rich man. Lazarus was at his gate. Edgar was asking a lot of people for help. And they wouldn't help him. He became a member of the Lord's church. And the church helped him as much as they could. But his health was bad. And Edgar passed away. There's a lot of people, when Edgar was baptized from that Protestant church, they looked down their nose at him and they said he's crazy and they said he's stupid for becoming a member of the Church of Christ. I hope that they'll all repent. But if they don't, they'll be looking across that great gulf. Across that great gulf, they're going to be in torment and Edgar's going to be in paradise. And Abraham's bliss can come. Where are you going to be? Well, if you've not become a member of the Lord's church, if you're not become a Christian, you're not going to be in paradise with Edgar. You become a Christian by believing in the Lord. John 3:16, the most well-known verse in the world. But that's not all. You've got to repent of your sins. Like Branson did. Turn away from your sins. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5. If you do not repent, you will all likewise perish. You have to confess that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And you've got to be baptized. Why? For the remission of your sins. Acts 2, verse 38. Verse 37, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized. Why, Peter? For the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You need a doctorate degree to mess that up. You ask a kid in the third grade, hey, Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Why do you need to be baptized? They're going to answer you, for the remission of your sins. Not to show that you've already been saved. Not to join a church. But for the remission of your sins. And if you don't have the remission of your sins, you can't get into heaven. You can't get into paradise with anger. And we want you there. He wants you there. If you've not done those things tonight, do them tonight. But if you've done them, but you've let something else get in the way, you've gone back to sin. You need our help. You need our prayers. And God has promised to forgive you. You'll fall down a million times, but if you get up a million times, God will forgive you every single time if you ask Him. But if you sit there on that pew tonight and don't make a move, you're not going to be there. If you're standing in need of the gospel invitation, why don't you come up to the front and let us know while we stand and sing.